This is episode 56 of Our Modern Heritage, the new Home and Family Culture podcast, and I'm your host, Jody Chathy, and I've got another solo episode coming at you today. I've been thinking a lot lately about some of the things that I've been learning over the years about family culture and the ways that reasons why I've gravitated towards this idea of family culture. And a lot of it has started way back when my husband and I first encountered a lot of our trials that we've been enduring. And, you know, over the last 10 years, we have been learning so much about ourselves and learning about what it means to develop good habits and have good goals. And, you know, something that I've been learning a lot lately, and I've talked about this quite a bit, is, you know, this idea that we cannot coast through our lives. And that's what having an intentional family culture is all about. And so that's something that I really want to talk a bit about on this episode, is what it means to coast, what it means to follow a scripted plan that you didn't write. Back in 2008, when my husband and I moved to Northern Virginia, and which is a super expensive area to live in, and we were college students, so it was even worse in a lot of ways. And so we started out thinking that we would go to school and get jobs and, you know, do those things that they say you should do in order to be successful, and we planned on following that script to a T. Well, we all know what happened in 2008. There was a recession, and my husband was in graduate school, and I was still finishing my undergraduate program. And so there wasn't really a lot of opportunities for us. And so we learned really quickly that this train that we'd gotten on of following that plan and that script was headed for a really abrupt dead end, that the tracks were going to end. And so we really struggled. We were dealing with a lot of anxiety and stress about worrying about the decisions that we'd made, whether we'd made the right decisions or not, especially moving to such an expensive area to live in. And we also regretted, even, you know, my husband was just like wondering if he was even supposed to finish his degree. But we were on this train that we were told was the success train, and so he was committed and wanted to stick through to the end of his degree, even though he wasn't really enjoying it, and it was expensive, and it was just, but we were doing what we thought was exactly the right thing to do. So, but, you know, that's something that we've been learning is that if you are on the wrong train, you need to get off and find a new ticket and get on a different train. So we were dealing with a lot because we had a lot of bills to pay. We were accruing more student debt, and we were starting to get into even our first consumer debt that we'd ever had, both of us, in our entire lives. And we were growing our family. We'd started our family at that time. And so we were stuck. We didn't know what to do. But we kept making the choice that, well, we needed to just stick it out. We needed to figure out what we're supposed to be doing. But at the same time, we were still questioning, is this the right thing to do? And so we doubted our decisions, and we doubted ourselves and our capacity. And lately, I listened to a talk by Dieter F. Uchtdorf, and he spoke at Brigham Young University, Idaho. And one of the things he talked about was the decisions that we make. And it was a really interesting talk. And one of the things that I liked about what he said about these decisions is, you know, we pray and we ask God, you know, please tell me what to do. And the reality is that in a lot of cases, and this is what Elder Uchtdorf says. He says, in many cases, the decisions you make may not be as important as what you do after the decision. And that in some cases, God doesn't tell us what to do because he says, I trust you. Or he says, it's not about the decision you make. It's about what you do after the decision. And then Eldridge Joff goes on to say, your work is to make the best decisions you can based on the information available to you, grounded in the values and principles of the gospel. Then strive with all your might to succeed in the things you undertake and be faithful. So that's something that now that I look back over the last 10 years, which 10 years sounds really ridiculous, but we kept making choices that we thought were the right choices, and we felt like we needed to stick to those decisions and try to work them out the best we could. But we also really questioned ourselves and our capacity to follow through with those things. But more and more, especially after listening to that talk and this advice about decisions, I'm learning about the importance of following through with those decisions. And that when you fall into traps of coasting or, you know, getting on that train and just following whatever the script says to do, then you're not really taking responsibility for those decisions. And that was something I think I'm beginning to understand more and more, is that when you're intentional about your goals, when you're intentional about your decisions, then you take responsibility for those things and you move forward with the intention of making the most of that decision. And so that's something that I'm learning, something that I hope to convey to you about family culture, about the values and the vision that we cultivate as families to bring our kids into alignment with those values and things like that. And you know, lately the episodes that I've, you know, the interviews that I've had with Marissa or with Jim Shields, and, you know, these people who have a wonderful experience with family culture and corporate culture and things. And one of the things that I talked about with Marissa was that about her kids being goal-oriented. And I thought it was interesting that she said that her kids are just naturally born that way. And, you know, one of the things that I'm exploring through this podcast is that these kinds of things aren't necessarily a nature versus nurture thing, but actually a lot of it is a nurture thing. And it's a lot of it is just the character of parents that is conveyed to our children, you know, the legacy that we create. And so I was thinking about what she'd said about her kids being so goal-oriented. And it made me think more and more about the importance of goals and setting goals. You know, for the last 10 years, as my husband and I have really been wondering and figuring out what we're supposed to be doing and, you know, kind of coasting, but more and more trying to figure out the right thing, but also struggling a lot with feelings of inadequacy and depression and anxiety and things like that. And we've kind of fallen into this, what would you call it? You know, just going from one fire to the next, just in a crisis mode. And so we've tried really hard to think about goals, but it's been something that when you are in crisis mode, it's really hard to establish those kinds of goals for your family culture, because you're just constantly putting out fires and going from one thing to the next and not really thinking too much about the future. And that's something that I've also learned is a real scarcity and poverty mindset, that when you don't think about the future, then you have a scarcity mindset and a poverty mindset. And poverty beliefs are generational, because, you know, our parents if they are in a poverty mindset, then they don't know how to teach us about how to look into the future and things like that. And that's not what our parents were like. We didn't grow up in poverty or anything by any means. But I think that people can portray and convey and pass on a poverty mindset in the sense of not knowing how to be goal-oriented. And so that's something that thinking about what Marissa was saying about being goal-oriented is really an abundance mindset, because you start to consider possibilities. And that was something that my dad and I worked on a lot when I was in high school, was being in possibility. And when you are in possibility, then you know that you have the capacity within you, or to at least develop the capacity within you, to accomplish your goals. And so one of the things I like to encourage you by talking about this is that you understand that when you have an intentional family culture, you have a vision, you develop a vision, you develop values, you develop systems and rhythms, like I talked about with Jim Shields. And those things become part of your goal orientation, and the daily rhythms or seasonal rhythms or annual rhythms, traditions, things that you do to help cultivate a sense of being goal oriented. And as I've pondered about my experience with going through the depression and anxiety of feeling trapped in this poverty mindset, it's helped me to understand more how important these goals are in allowing you, myself, you and me, all of us who are enduring these kinds of things, how to overcome this sense of depression and hopelessness. That when you set a powerful goal for yourself, for your family, that gives you a sense of purpose. And that was something that I learned about in Napoleon Hill's Outwitting the Devil. He talks a lot about having definiteness of purpose. And he talks about when you fall into traps of, you know, self-absorption, self-indulgence, then you give into a pattern of drifting, which is like getting on that train and coasting down the tracks, not really knowing or caring where you're going. But then suddenly, or maybe not so sudden, those tracks end. And it's really hard when you get to that end, because you get off and there are no tracks, there's no train, there's no mode of transportation to get you where you'd like to go with your goals. And so Michael and I have really had to work lately to figure out how we're going to get to achieve those goals that we have. And Michael left his job a couple months ago, and I'm trying to figure out some ways to provide for us, and he's working on ways to provide for us. And I never considered so much about how, you know, how important our family finances are to our family culture. But when you struggle, or if you have a poverty mindset, you have a scarcity mindset, then it's a really big deal. It's a really, really big deal. And those things are a huge definition of how you define your family culture. And so something that I've been learning is that, you know, Michael and I are really, we kind of jumped on a makeshift train, and we're traveling down a really dark tunnel. We don't know if it, where or how it's going to come to an end. And but something that I've realized and learned is that if I can't do these things on my own, you know, there's nobody else that's going to provide it for me. And so it's really taught me about the importance of living more of like an unscripted type of life, a little bit more of an entrepreneurial type of life. And these things are inspiring me and teaching me and helping me to be able to learn about independence, to learn about what resources are available online, or, you know, different ways that we can provide for our families. And it comes back to those rhythms, those habits, setting goals. Something that I was thinking about a lot lately was how, you know, when the way that we establish goals with our families is through these rhythms. And something that I thought about was we'd watch, you know, The Karate Kid with our kids. And you know, it's such a classic movie. And there's this scene, these scenes at the beginning of the movie where Mr. Miyagi is teaching Daniel, or he's telling Daniel to, you know, wax his car and paint his fence and paint his house and sand the deck and things like that. And something that I thought about was how, you know, yeah, you know, then he, after he does all these chores, and Daniel's like, well, what are you doing? You're just making me do all your chores, and you're not even here to training me about karate. And then there's the scene where Mr. Miyagi challenges him to defend himself from his punches and kicks. And that not only did those chores strengthen Daniel's muscles to defend himself from those punches and kicks, but also it was instinctual. And that by doing those things, those chores, by doing those motions, he was creating a muscle memory. And it almost becomes like second nature to your families, to your kids, when you are consistent with your goals by setting, you know, with whatever you establish, the rhythms, the patterns, the traditions, the stories, you know, the way that we behave in different situations. These things become like muscle memory for our children and for our lives. And so that's something that, you know, I'm reading this book right now called Focus, and that the way that we act, it almost becomes like a second nature to us, and we don't even realize it. We don't even think about the things that we are doing on a consistent basis. And so they become something we habituate toward rather than something we orient towards, is what is a quote from the author of Focus. And so we have to be conscientious about the habits that we are creating, the narrative that we share with our families, because when we don't know what we're saying, we don't know what we're doing, then we become, those things become a habit. We become habituated to these things out of habit, out of, you know, just what is expected, what's customary, or whatever, rather than trying to orient ourselves toward a goal or toward the object of our values and our vision. And when, if we are intentional about those things, you know, Mr. Miyagi was intentional about those patterns that he wanted Daniel to do. And that allowed him to create that muscle memory, it allowed him to create the strength to do those things more naturally. And so when we create those rhythms, those habits, we create the things that are important to us, then those are the things that we orient ourselves toward. And that's how we become more goal-oriented. You come up with things that are challenging and important, and then you start creating a mindful, you know, routines that create a direction towards those goals. And so that's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, because, you know, being in crisis mode, you forget about the goals, you forget about trying to be more intentional. But it's so important to have that direction, to have the goals, to have hope that things can improve, that things can change, and to make those changes and not just coast. You know, if you're on the wrong train, you got to get off. You've got to get a new ticket and get on the right train that's going to serve your family. So that's my challenge for you all today. And something that I just, you know, I want you guys to understand that this is something that has been a challenge for me. It's been a challenge for my family, and But, you know, starting this podcast has been something that has really helped me to have goals. It's helped me to have something that's fulfilling for me and that gives me purpose and gives me that definition, that definitiveness of purpose that Napoleon Hill talks about. So I hope that it's something that has been insightful and helpful for you and something that, you know, you're gaining insight and hope that your family can receive inspiration, that your family can become more oriented towards the vision and values that you have for your family, and to cultivate a real culture that inspires your family, that you know, upholds the values and standards that you want to see your family to adopt, and that you're conscientious about those things. So thank you again for listening. Thank you for being a part of this journey with me and, you know, being with me as I learn to develop my voice around all of this. I'm going to have some interesting projects coming up in the near future, and you can learn more about them on my homepage at homeandfamilyculture.com, and you can come follow me at Family Culture Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest, and at _FamilyCulture on Twitter. And I'm also on LinkedIn at Jody Chafee. Anyways, thank you for listening. Thank you for following along. Please comment and rate and share, and come follow and subscribe on your favorite broadcasting medium. And you can check out the show notes at homeandfamilyculture.com. And thank you so much for listening. Mother Teresa once said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family."